December 20th continued. I'll try to finish this particular topic up that I started in the previous entry. I'm a little bit tired and I'm having a scent pretty soon. So let me try to wrap it up. So it became clear to me, exercising in that commercial sweat house, mindless gym, that what was very important to me was certainly was air quality, fresh air. This thing was in downtown Honolulu, all sorts of pollution, car exhaust, and I just knew that it was better air up on the mountain, you know. I also knew though that the bamboo roots, the banyan tree roots, and these other large root structures that were all over the trail in that semi-tropical rainforest of Paradise Park in the upper reaches of Manoa Valley, it'd be traumatizing to my joints, and that's a whole, and ligaments, that's a whole nother matter, but for the purpose of getting clean air, that was certainly a big consideration in my shifting my focus of my sadhana, my tapas, to aerobic activity in that location. And then, I don't know if it was then or as time grew past, this notion of prana or life force became increasingly important to me. I felt like I was just soaking up a vitality there that did not exist, certainly doesn't exist where I am right now. You know, this is dry, barren desert with heavy metals raining down and biological agents raining down upon me. I mean, this is nothing like Manoa Valley in 1994, when this whole practice of mine came to a head. But in any event, yeah, I went to that location and I started doing the hike there. What was great about it is I drove my car from the house I was renting to the trailhead. I think I got robbed there, you know. Speakers got taken out of my punky little Chevrolet Sprint ER that got 57 to the gallon. You know, today we pay three times the price for a car that gets, you know, 40 to the gallon. We've come a long way, right? And so I was able to, I think it was only a 15 minute walk, but I walked from the house to the trailhead and then went on in. It was better too. I don't want to be driving to, it's jarring to get into a vehicle and out of a vehicle and having to assemble yourself and, you know, consider, you know, mechanical, motorized conveyance when your mind is on a, you know, on a more profound plane. So where was I? So yeah, I'm up there for the clean air. You fast forward some, and then I find myself in a, you know, I'm gonna skip over some other parts of this story. But I get to a place where man-made EMF exposure to that causes a swelling sensation, a tearing sensation throughout my brain. It makes critical thinking difficult, increasingly difficult, and causes chest pain, and it causes an overexcitation of my nervous system in general, such that I think it was Was that in 94? No. 95, I started having an increasingly negative reaction to a complex of microwave towers, communication backbone transmitters, you know, all this stuff on top of Round Top. You go up Tantalus Drive, up out of Honolulu, and you get into all these multi-million dollar mansions, extraordinary vistas. I mean, the views overlooking Manoa Valley and then Honolulu, some of it with some steep cliffs, just fantastic. I mean, it's brilliant, amazing. But, you know, those people, many of them up there, are getting high dosages of microwave exposure and likely will experience significant cognitive or health issues after, you know, years of exposure up there, despite the sublime, and I mean sublime, all caps, bold face, quality of air. Although I hear they're spraying there now too, but and then I had to leave. I had to go. Before this consciousness became just overwhelming to me, it was some months before that. Let's just say in September of 95, I'm having to hike in another location. That was dry, comparatively dry. There were Norfolk Island pine, some of that, but certainly none of the intense, verdant backdrop to my hike in Manoa. But the point is that my this effort to generate heat essential component of my spiritual practice became frustrated. So for the example of the Manoa Valley trails, I would be doing pretty significant tapas, climbing to some of the peaks, and when I was climbing to, you know, ascending Manoa Valley to Paua Flats, it's called Pauoa Flats, and then over to the Manoa Cliffs and the top of Round Top, I couldn't do it anymore. My efforts towards self-realization, towards the grounding of spirit in the human body, towards the transmuting of subtle energy flowing through my solar plexus and being transformed by my pancreas into a physical vehicle sustaining food, and then being radiated out in the brachial plexus as divine love. That effort, the effort towards the full embodiment and realization of that, was shut down. You know, not completely, maybe 98%, you know, something like that, 95-98%. You know, I'm just a broken little hunchback, broken little cripple of a man compared to who by birthright I was intended to become, to be. But the conflict I wanted to describe today was one where the intention to transcend, the intentionality of becoming more, of manifesting more of spirit and transforming this world into a paradise. In my current state, based on my direct observations It is destroyed by that effort is destroyed. It is blocked. It is stopped by man-made EMF and to degrees that I'm not fully aware of, this aerial sprain, you know, where the heavy metals are supposed to sit, you know, they're in nano form. They're supposed to sit on different neurotransmitter receptor sites in our body, you know, blocking transmissions, blocking efforts towards harmonization, the synergistic toxicity of aluminum, mercury, arsenic, these other things, and they're being triggered or exacerbated by exposure to man-made EMF of various frequencies. It causes a destruction of higher potentials in the body. I mean, I can't say, can't be more plain than that. It does. And I was listening to an interview or a video presentation of Dr. Gwen Scott, who recently passed, and a naturopath, and Clifford Carnicum, a former Department of Defense contractor, you're the nerdy guy behind the microscope who has been studying the chemtrail fallout and its effects on human organism, on the human body. He has identified a synthetic biology in these filaments that are then impregnated with a type of, I think it's called chlamydia pneumonia. Basically, there are certain forms in there, bacteria-like forms. He said he suggested that. He didn't have a positive ID. But it's inside these submicron fibers are these tiny bacteria in some of the samples that he's seen. And the thing that's particularly disturbing about this type of chlamydia is that it is a intracellular pathogen. That is, it lives inside of cells. And so your immune system has an extraordinary difficulty dealing with it. And if we could only know the mindset of those who are producing these types of pathogens, who are spraying us with these and heavy metals in tandem with irradiating us with various frequencies. There would be a revolution overnight, because I do believe we are being seeded with our own destruction, and that the whole purpose of this polymer shell that the chlamydia is inserted into is to bypass our immune system and have these things be pushed into our cells. And then he's shown that these synthetic fibers are alive and that they respond to electromagnetism. And so, you know, you've got trillions of dollars unaccounted for in the Department of Defense, budget, and sucked out of our country through mortgage fraud and illegal drug sales and everything else the black budget and black ops are involved with. Lord knows what they've devised. If you got $1 trillion, you can hire the best minds, have them sign lethal non-disclosure agreements. Then you own them for the rest of their lives. And say, hey, I want you to devise the best way to kill the enemy. You give them a script. You give them, only a part of the story when everything they're doing is actually directed at anyone who might challenge the dominance of the U.S. empire. You know, it's not really about freedom or putting down terrorists. You know, terrorist is a euphemism. It's anyone who disagrees with the neoconservative notion that that sovereign governments need to give all their nation's resources over to multinational corporations controlled by, you know, a few dozen elite families in the world, you know, banking families. So, yeah, I've lost the poetic moment here for me, but the idea is that I'm climbing the mountains and I'm doing something that should be intrinsically empowering, intrinsically elevating, and it's like a steel door is slammed over me. You know, like I'm a fire. You know, the fire is needed to reach Godhead, and my efforts to do that are like opening up a fire hose on my fire. But it's not just putting out a fire, it's actually destroying the physical vehicle itself. And so every step I take towards God is a step that destroys me physically and mentally. That's where I feel right now. I mean, I cannot put it into words the extent of frustration that I feel, that I have been harboring since 94, since that MRI there in Honolulu there, where I was harmed by the spiritual mechanism within me was harmed. Possibly irreparably, but, you know, I'd say irreparably, not that I couldn't have recovered from it pretty well, but I was damaged. It was a major blow to me. And that was some hardcore shit. That power, that intensity of alien digital energy being imbibed by my subtle vehicle, imbibed by my body, and amplified, you know, it was, you know, what have I said before? Like pissing on an electric fence. Shocking, to say the least. And so really where I am right now in my life is effort itself is contrary to my needs for survival, but you can't survive unless you evince effort, demonstrate effort. You know, if you're not moving, you're gonna be full of pathogens, full of parasites. You need to have heat to rid yourself of bad thoughts and of bad bugs. Everything is, you know, fat, pathogens, emotional distress. It all is dissolved in the heat of spiritual practice. And my experience since late 95 especially is I can no longer, for now, 20 years, I've been unable to engage in tapas, unrestricted tapas. My breathing has had to be shallow, and my posture, I've had to be kind of humpback in the way I sit, because sitting upright causes too much energy to flow through me, causing, you know, discordant ringing in my ears and pain in my head. So I'm slouching, not breathing all the time. You wonder, you know, I'm getting a pot belly now. you know. But I have found a few places where I can hike, where I can at least get some hiking in that is somewhat protected. I don't have access to it regularly. It's in another area where I hope to be living and working someday. You know, having recourse to something like that adds longevity to this, you know, unmoored, listless, or listing boat of mine. Anything else there? Yeah, I'm just thinking here before I sign off. I see another aerosol trail line up. It is no cumulus clouds, just this amorphous, solid layer of shit that is in no way natural. I mean, this is a marine layer. It looks like a marine layer in terms of its, because that's from the ocean. You only get something like this near the ocean, or at least on a regular basis. Here, it's chemically created, and we're expected to accept it as normal. And it disperses, it causes an excess of rain nuclei or moisture forming, or, you know, nuclei. The moisture, whatever moisture we have around here, clings to these small metal particles, and because there's so many of them, it is an excess number, and it cannot combine or create rain. And then there's an interaction with this, with EMF, that heats the particles or makes them, you know, rise. And they just, whatever moisture you might have, it just flows above you. Nothing comes down. So it's a desiccant. And that's another, the aluminum that's in the spray is directly responsible to the for the excessively intense forest fires that we've had in many areas of the world where the spraying's occurring, because aluminum is a fire accelerant. But that's the point today, is just the relationship, intentionality. You know, what we focus on, it's supposed to gather momentum until you achieve escape velocity. And escape velocity, it's different, or what it actually means differs at different stages of your development. But escape velocity for me as a kid would be, have been immersing myself completely in stories of, you know, J.R.R. Tolkien, or Frank L. Baum Oz series, or there are some other books, the Castaneda series I read. Those are the main ones. Or in exercise, and I had that too. And then, you know, escape velocity ultimately is what has been just called a transfiguration. That means where the body is consuming or receiving so much spiritual or vibrational energy, the cosmic energy coming through it, and it's transformed, it's grounded, and it's regenerative, and to the extent that the what you escape in that ultimate velocity is the physical vehicle itself. It combusts, it goes up in light. And I do believe that that's possible. That was a goal of mine. I don't know when it came to me, but I certainly, it intuitively, on a gut level, I recognize it as the end goal for human beings at this stage of development. that achieving transfiguration and the release of all karmic and atomic bonds in the human form as a display of spiritual light, white light, subtle, a subtle explosion of release, that's where we are heading. And that it was with that intention that I would approach my every aspect of my tapas practice. Of course, you know, while you need a job and you have to, you know, acquire food and all these other things that make up the, you know, your menial tasks in your life, you just, you know, all those need to be supported in your tapas, and your tapas needs to be grounded with, in a support, in a coherence with those other activities that all led up to and pointed to this, the ultimate transcendence of your own, or your own vehicle, your own body-mind vehicle. So it is today. You know, I have to drive an hour away to get to a place where I can hike to a summit that is not in direct line of sight of any microwave or cellular towers. And, but that, you know, in general, any demonstrations of compassion, good diet, just regenerative practices, you know, deep breathing, etc. They are all, they cause harm to me and make me unstable. And I need to be extremely muted throughout the day, you know, despite, you know, my, you know, being as active and energetic as I appear to be, I am really containing it. And, I feel like a corpse moving about my business. And I wish, how much do I weigh now? I weighed 20 pounds more than I weighed, 10 years ago. That bums me out. More than that, 25, I weigh about 215 right now. And I weighed 195 20 years ago. And at the peak of my mountain climbing practices in Hawaii, I was down to 180, 183. I would drop down below 180, only rarely, but I did a few times. So I'm 35 pounds higher than where I was back then. Six, 6'2" in height. Well, so what I'm trying to do though these days is find a location where I can apply my mind and body vigorously in such a way, and then where in an environment where then where I'm living and working and where I'm hiking all have as reduced an exposure to EMF as possible. And such that, you know, I can achieve a higher level of vibration without breaking apart from the conduction and amplification of this unnatural energy that human beings are pumping into the environment here, whether it be Wi-Fi, cellular, radio, microwave, all these other signals. Those are all harmful to me, especially. They're harmful to everyone, but I'm actually consciously aware of this stuff, and it hurts. But, yeah, that's my goal, and I'm just here today to, I'm thankful that I'm able to do what I do, but, yeah, but then to be hiking to a summit that is even closer to, this descending, metal shower, heavy metal shower, that also is depressing me a great deal. That's, you know, I'll say that for another time, but there should be a synergistic cumulative, spiritually oriented aspect of intention. Intention begets greater and deeper intention. I think I've heard stories of, the mind of Buddha, or, the practice, it's like you become like a rock that's dropped to the bottom of a river where there's something unmoving and deep that you tap into, that the river of life just does not phase, it does not tarnish. I want to be able to plumb the very depths of existence and not be burnt alive for it. Please research geoengineeringwatch.org and look up Clifford Carnicom, C-A-R-N-I-C-O-M. His YouTube videos Aerosol Crimes, and then the research at his website, interviews with Gwen Scott. Low quality interview there, low quality video production there. But please be a part of the solution here. I'm not speaking here. I don't mean to put myself on a pedestal and to share my voice in this way as a means of distracting you from what you need to do in your life. I'm calling you urgently to do what you can to inform others and to hold government and the corporations it subsidizes, or the corporations that control our government, and in this case, many of them are military contractors like Lockheed Martin. Hold them accountable, and please try to reverse this. Clifford said in a recent interview that he felt we didn't have more than 20 years ahead of us to solve this problem. I do believe that my health, my mind, it's being undermined and harmed in ways that go beyond whatever it is my EMF sensitivity condition makes me susceptible to. I think it's very much complicated. My health is very much complicated and eroded by what we are all inhaling. And it may be the case, as I have heard, that in the West, in the NATO countries, perhaps in the U.S. especially, we are being sprayed the most. And it's not an oxymoron. I would not be surprised that the elites who so supposedly have spared America the wrath of the New World Order's injustices through these various destabilization programs all over the world, and getting rid of any country's leader that might slow down the raping and pillaging of the planet's resources, it might be the case that we are the worse off. We are the most ignorant and the most poisoned and the most propagandized of any population on the planet. And in my own life, as I have already attested in earlier entries, 3/4 of my family don't want to hear anything about this. They don't want to believe that EMF or this fake cloud cover are harmful. They think that if it was anything bad was going on, the 6 o'clock news would let them know. And I'm just here to say they could not be more in the wrong in that regard, more in error, that the last thing that they will be informed of by the 6 o'clock news will be the truth, or any type of information that might cause an unraveling of these various eugenics and depopulation and mind control and poisoning agendas that are at work right now. So this is, I'm just speaking to you as someone who is a very intelligent person, a very grounded person. I've been a special education teacher for 26 years. I haven't missed a day of work in my life due to my these various perceptions that have plagued me. I take time off, for an oil change or a dental appointment, but my consciousness is very much in the here and now, and my eyes are wide open, and I'm just telling you, what I've observed and what's true from what I believe is a very wise and informed point of view. And I want you to know that in your efforts to pave the way for health and healing and prosperity on this planet, your efforts to move the ball forward in this game of life, you are not alone. There are many people just like me, or similar to me, we're all unique, but just like me, who are speaking their truth and acting out their truth in very helpful ways. Not everyone has made a point of developing a little an internet platform like this. I don't want to run a group. I don't want to be a social leader. So this is what I've chosen to do, but please do everything you can. You're not alone, and every effort you make is not in vain. If this ship is, I do believe we're in the middle of an omnicide. That's what Dane Wigington has said. This type of heavy metal contamination kills everything. It kills soil bacteria is down 90%. Aquatic insect life is down 90%. Pelagic fish populations are down 90%. Human beings are hanging from a thread here, and whatever you can do to forestall or to lighten or reduce the devastation that we're in the middle of here is absolutely critical. Needs to happen. Please do not put your life at risk. Do your best not to. Or if you do, take out 10 of them, but it's most of these other people, they're ignorant. They are, they just are after a paycheck themselves and do not know what they do. But I guess, the people that nailed Jesus to the cross were just following orders themselves. So, who's to blame? Well, we're all to blame. But, some little concrete things. I listen to a lady named Catherine Austin Fitz sometimes, and she's all about the money. And so, I think from my, most government agencies, most representatives are captive. They're blackmailed, they're threatened. They are, for whatever reason, or they're just sociopaths who want power and don't care what agenda they're serving, provided they get to have their hands on the levers of power. A lot of that, apparently, is supposedly 4% of the population fits that. Fits that description. But, if you want to, put a halt to what public schools are doing in your community, the people have to get together and start to, forget the name of it, but there's a legal and financial process where basically you send your taxes to a special account that is held and made available to the taxation authorities if they comply with your requests. And the same thing is for, you know, there is something called the 10th Amendment, which means that the government, the federal government, is not to declare or proclaim or claim ownership over any authority or duty that is not specifically spelled out to it in the Constitution of the United States. And so states that want the federal government to do X, Y, and Z and don't want their tax support, their tax dollars to support activities or actions on the part of the federal government that undermine state sovereignty, then they too set aside their tax dollars into some special account where those proceeds, those payments, that amount will be paid to the federal government upon its compliance with the Constitution and the requests of the state government. So there's a lot of other things along those lines, and then also the states can nullify or can choose to not adhere to or abide by any federal law that they believe is in violation of their state constitution or their state laws. And they don't have to do it. And we have right now is a fascist international effort towards, you know, destruction of nation state sovereignty. And it requires all of the, cantons, or what do you call them, the counties and the states in each nation to be neutered. And in the U.S. we have the strongest provisions against that. And that is probably that, and making sure your sheriff is the highest legal authority in your jurisdiction, your county sheriff. And we need to look, you need to research that, please. But this is these are the real remedies, I think. It's going to be financial. It's going to be financial. I think that's going to be, you can't now you have to apply for permits in Washington, D.C. to march. Whatever you saw in the news and the media about, Martin Luther King Jr. and his marches, that won't be allowed anymore unless that particular march serves the divide and conquer agenda of the neoconservatives, internationalists, globalists that are running Washington, D.C. right now. So that's it for now. Those are, we might not be able to get every agency to, do what we want or change its rules, but we can starve the beast. You have to go to the choke. The choke chain is the currency, is the money that you give it. And we need to take that back until we get the respect for our freedoms and our health and the sovereignty over our air and water. And the international military activities of our government until we get all that under control. And with that, over and out. And thank you for listening.